Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there today? Well, today is another day that the Lord has made and we shall be glad and rejoice in it, for he has made us glad. Thank you for tuning in today. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And if you are a faithful listener, thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims. Okay, let us move on. I'm live right now on www.wwgh1071.com. I'm live right now on that TuneIn app, which you can download on any electronic device. And once you do, please put in your search bar WWGH. And I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944. Okay, along with you listeners, we have Chappie's Hydraulic, Hole Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Also at www.logoschristianministries.com, their ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place this Saturday. Mark your calendars. Let others know that may need free produce. Please let them know that it will take place this Saturday at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, 12 noon to 2 p.m. We're also asking people to lift up others in prayer, like Cheryl Lee. Any one of your loved ones or neighbors or friends or church associates that need prayer, please pray. Lift up people, people who are in bereavement, people who are just maybe have lost hope. Lift them up in prayer. And, you know, because we just pray that the Lord will meet each and every one of us at the point of our need, whether it's healing, whether it's being comforted, whether we need peace or not, or joy or not, or just, you know, just being by our side and leading us and guiding us. We will do this together. Ask the Lord for him to meet us there, and he will, especially if you believe. And I believe that he will, okay? So, okay, let us move on. I had joined in, you know, you give people money, all these different organizations that send you things in the mail. And this Boys Town kept sending me, you know, little invitations to support their program. So I did. And that was because a almanac fell into my lap a couple years ago. And I so loved that almanac because it was separated by month. And it gave you the history of the month and why the month was called what it was called and what was most important to be celebrated in that month. So it was like 2 years old. And I wanted a new one for 2025. Well, I finally got it, just like last week. But it's for 2025, January through December. And here we are in November already. So there was still something very interesting that the old almanac I had did not address, was the origin of the jack-o'-lanterns. Because we all still have pumpkins, you know, that's part of our harvest decorations on our porches or in our yards or in our barns, you know, haystacks and stuff like that, scarecrows. And this here, I don't know if I was aware of this, maybe heard it when I was a child or heard it in school or whatever, but this right here, I wanted to read to you. Why do we carve pumpkins? Turnip lanterns were used before the modern pumpkin jack-o'-lantern. In ancient Ireland, revelers hollowed out large turnips or potatoes or beets and carved them into a demon's face to frighten away spirits. They lit the turnips from within with a candle or a piece of smoldering coal. Now, you know, turnips like turnip bottoms, and usually people eat the top of turnip bottoms because they're greens. where they're called greens, and you can, you know, saute them with bacon or whatever, you know, and serve as a side dish like spinach, turnips, and they have a very good taste. It's kind of bitter taste, but a good taste. So they were using turnips, they were using large potatoes or beets, and they was carving them out and putting candles in them. They then placed the lanterns in the windows and doorways of their homes, believing that the carvings would scare off evil spirits and welcome deceased loved ones inside. I did not know that. Irish immigrants arriving in the New World during the early 1800s found the plentiful, easier-to-carve pumpkins ready substitutes for turnips. What is the origin of jack-o'-lanterns? So they were trying to drive out evil spirits and let their deceased loved ones come home because they felt that the evil spirits were keeping their loved ones away. Now, I don't know how any of you fare as far as that is concerned, but I do believe that once a person is gone, that they stay gone. I don't want them lurking around or even feeling their presence, you know. I don't know, I just kind of like that about those certain things. But let us read on. What is the origin of jack-o'-lanterns? The term jack-o'-lantern originated in the 17th century Britain, where it was used to refer to a man with a lantern or a night watchman. The British would call men whose names they didn't know by a common name like Jack. Thus, an unknown man carrying a lantern was sometimes called Jack with the lantern or Jack of the lantern. According to one theory, the term jack-o'-lantern originated from Irish folklore. As the story goes, a man called Stingy Jack invited the devil out for drinks and asked him to play a parlor game to see if the devil could turn himself into a coin so that they could pay for the drinks. After the devil obliged, Jack ran off with the coin and the devil was trapped inside it. Jack freed the devil based on the deal that he would not claim Jack's soul when he died. Jack also played another trick on the devil to extend his life. Some of the things that people believed, right? Why? Wow. He challenged the devil. When Jack finally died, God would not let him into heaven, and the devil would not let him into hell. Instead, jack-o'-lantern aimlessly roams the earth for eternity with a lantern carved from a turnip to light his way. Whether this theory about the origin of the term jack-o'-lantern is proven or not, it's become a popular and not-so-scary ghost story today. Some believe that jack-o'-lanterns represent Christian souls in purgatory. On All Saints Day, November the 1st, Roman Catholics visit tombstones to honor the memory of deceased relatives, and on All Souls Day, November the 2nd, Catholics pray for those souls believed to be in purgatory because they died with the guilt of lesser sins on their souls. Stingy Jack is believed to be roaming endlessly in a sort of purgatory, so it's not difficult to see the connection. So it came down to God wouldn't let him into heaven and the devil wouldn't let him into hell. Now, the devil will take you any kind of way, but God will not. He has to be number one. So these are like old tales, I guess, and it was like very interesting. Why do we wear scary costumes? I guess it's the same thing, right? During Samhain, Samhain, superstitious country folk would disguise themselves with animal skins and masks made from sailcloth or linen. In costumes, they would go outside and make lots of noise in an effort to fool troublesome spirits into thinking that they were one of them and to scare them away. Spirits. So Halloween, according to this almanac for October, had to deal with evil spirits keeping them away and letting the good spirits come forth. Why do we trick-or-treat then? During Samhain, an extra place was set at the table as an offering to deceased loved ones. Food was also placed outside near the doorway to appease bothersome spirits who might otherwise play tricks on the inhabitants, such as tipping over milk containers. Today's trick-or-treating dates to the Middle Ages, when poor people collected baked goods called soul cakes from the wealthy. The poor promised to pray for the giver's deceased loved ones in exchange for cakes. You know, one thing about a deceased loved one and then trying to offer a prayer after they are gone, it's too late. Your fate is sealed at your death. It's too late. If you have not chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin and believe the finished works of the cross, it's too late when you die. No one came back from the dead but Jesus Christ himself. He was the only one who was resurrected back to life and is alive now, today, and forevermore. Pray for your loved ones while they are alive. Pray that the Lord touch their hearts and their mind and draws them closer to him. Pray for ourselves that we make it in, that we will not be so distorted or so caught up in the life today that we lose our way. We want to stand strong in these last and evil days, and we want to be able to draw others to Christ. It's so important that we be disciples. Not only disciples, but be that instrument that helps draw them closer to the Lord. Pray today for your loved ones. Once they're gone, it's too late. That's why it's so important right now to know the difference between not choosing God as your Savior and choosing God as your Savior, because life goes on after death. There is an eternity with Christ in love and peace, and there's also a cutoff if you do not receive him. You'll just be cut off, be burned in hell like the devil and his angels. That's what the scripture says. I just want to know, if you're going to choose life and you're going to choose Christ, do it now. If you want your loved ones saved, pray for them now and be the instrument. Let your life be the mirror that they're looking at as a follower and believer in Christ Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author means the beginning of the Bible. Finisher is the end of the Bible. All in between is Christ Jesus, from the beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning. That's who he is. I have a thought for today, and I'm going to bring that up. Then we're going to talk a little bit about November. Okay? We'll talk a little bit about November, but the thing about November is there's a whole bunch of recipes in here and not much about the month itself. And we know that that is a festive month that we celebrate and have set aside for our family and our loved ones and friends to come together and break bread. And there are a lot of recipes in here. So if you are interested in maybe some new recipes or upping some of your old recipes, then get a pencil and paper so you can write these down, and I'll try to read them as slow as possible, as long as we have time. So, but I'm going to go to our thought for today, and it is titled, Ignorance and Wisdom. Ignorance make you believe that life happens haphazardly. Wisdom teaches you that everything that happens in this theater of life has profound significance. Nothing just happens for no reason. There is a reason for everything that happens. What you see today is not the fruit of chance, but a fruit from a seed planted in the past. Plant seeds of peace now, and you will create a life of peace in the future. Life just doesn't haphazardly happen. Oh, man is on the earth. How did that happen? Oh, he just sprang up. Oh, the earth is in orbit, and there's a moon that follows the earth, right? So how did the earth get here? Oh, it just happened. There was a big boom, and there it was. There is a reason. We have a creator who has taken time to create and make these things for us. And to show forth his glory, because we cannot understand why they exist, or why God did it this way, or how did he do it? How did God do that? How did God create man out of dirt and breathe the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul? How? Is that true? Can I believe that? Did that really happen or not? Some people don't believe. Like my last guest said, they're old wives' tales, and they're probably told the wrong way, or they added some stuff to it, or they took some stuff away from it. You know, all scripture has been inspired by God, and he used men to write it. But they were led by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. They were told what to write, and they wrote it. So nothing just happens. I'm not just here because who brought my mother and my father together to bring me here today? God did that. Your mother, your father, he brought them together. Whether they're still together now or not, he used those two people to bring you into existence. It's just, can I explain it? No. But I know from reading scripture, a lot of this was God's plan. All of this is God's plan. A part of God's plan. You know, so nothing just happens. So for us to think that things just happen haphazardly is considered being ignorant. So we don't want to be ignorant, because there is no excuse for being ignorant when you have the truth in front of you, which is the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. What does that mean? I am the way. I'm the only way to God in the heaven. Can't get there except you go through Christ. I am the truth. My word is truth. I am truth. So the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, is the truth, because it was inspired by him, and he inspired men to write every word. I am the life. I am the source of your life, number one, on this earth. And I will be the source of your life after this earth, especially if you choose me as your Lord and Savior from sin and accept the finished works of Christ, to believe that I did come here and I lived and I ate and I slept and I chose men to follow me and I healed the sick and I raised the dead. I made the blind to see and the lame to walk and the mute to talk. I did all those things. I calmed the sea. I raised Lazarus from the dead. And not only that, according to the scripture, he says that he raised himself from the dead on the third day. Yes, he is the life. He is your life sustainer. He extends or shortens your days. He is the life. So when we talk about life, we're talking about God, because he is the one who made sure that we have life. And he says, if you choose me, he said, I have come and died that you will have life, and that more abundantly, a more abundant life. And that is what we look forward to. I know I do, in a more abundant life. And whatever that holds or pertains in that life, I look forward to that. So we do not want to use ignorance as an excuse to look past the fact that there is a creator and created all these things, like the earth, the sea, the trees, the grass, and man himself, and the heavens. Someone said, I would like to see man make a blade of grass. Just one blade of grass. I would like to see man make that. Well, I know that God planted seeds. He planted trees to bear seeds. And the seeds fall to the ground and they reproduce. So God had a plan. He had a plan when he made the earth and he put man on it. He made him this beautiful paradise to dwell in and to live in, which was called the Garden of Eden. But you know, sometimes God is not enough. We want more. We want to have more, I guess, jurisdiction over our own lives, more control over what we do, what we say, where we go, how we go. We don't want someone else to tell us what to do. And I think this too. We don't want God to tell us what to do, but we'll do what man tells us to do in a minute. Without any question sometimes. Oh, well, we got to do this and we got to do that because the man on the earth that is in charge has issued out this decree that we do this. Well, there's going to come a time when man will issue out a decree that will cement your faith if you follow man and do it. We're not there yet, but we're headed there. When this is going to happen, I don't know, but we are headed there. I think sometimes we have a sneak preview right now of what is to come. So, one day things will be much worse. One day the choices that we make will cement our faith, our fate. But what we want to do is rise up now, accept what we should, and that would be our Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. And you don't have to believe it. I mean, I know people have options. They believe what they want. But I believe that. Okay, so I'm going to move along now. That was our thought for today. And that was ignorance and wisdom. I'm going to read it one more time. Ignorance make you believe that life happens haphazardly. Wisdom teaches that everything that happens in this theater of life has profound significance. What you see today is not the fruit of chance, but a fruit from a seed planted in the past. Plant seeds of peace now, and you will create a life of peace in the future. Ignorance and wisdom, the difference. Okay, now, the month of November, as we all know, is the 11th month of the year. Turkeys perched on trees and refusing to descend indicates snow. What did you think about our first snow here in Ohio, at least in Marion, Ohio, Sunday and Monday? We had snow, freezing temperatures, blustery wind. Sneak preview of what is to come, right? Right. Well, I told you that this month had, November has an almanac, a lot of recipes. So this one is called Thanksgiving leftover recipes. We always have so many leftovers because a turkey is so big and can feed so many people. Even your smallest turkey can feed a lot of people. For many, leftovers are one of the best parts of Thanksgiving. Okay, here are quick and easy leftover recipes that recycle holiday food into new and delicious meals. Truth be told, it's the Thanksgiving leftovers that get us excited. Make enough so Grandpa gets his beloved Thanksgiving sandwiches. If you want to push your boundaries beyond the sandwich, here are some fun ideas from cranberry parfaits to stuffing egg nest. And the first recipe is cranberry parfait. And how to make it. I did ask you to get paper and pencil if you wanted to write some of these down. How about using extra cranberry sauce in a yogurt parfait? It's great for Thanksgiving leftovers. As long as your cranberry sauce is firm and doesn't have too many spicy ingredients, your favorite sauce should do. Same goes for the granola. Use your own recipe, or a good store-bought one will do fine. Here are the ingredients. 1 quart vanilla yogurt or vanilla ice cream. I love vanilla ice cream. 6 cups leftover cranberry sauce. 4 cups of granola. Instructions. Into a wide mouth parfait glass, scoop 1/2 cup yogurt or ice cream. Top with 1/4 cup cranberry sauce and a few tablespoons of granola. Repeat for a second layer, or make just one layer with double the ingredients. Now that was the cranberry parfait. Excuse me. How many people like hash? Day after turkey hash. This turkey hash, excuse me, is an easy, delicious way to use turkey leftovers after a holiday feast. We have our hash for breakfast with hot coffee, but it can be enjoyed anytime. Feel free to mix it up too, or add ingredients. Sometimes we add a fried egg on top. Get a drink of water. Two tablespoons unsalted butter. One large onion chopped. 3 cups leftover stuffing. 2 cups leftover mashed potatoes. 2 cups chopped leftover turkey. 1 cup leftover gravy. Preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Instructions. Melt the butter in a large cast iron skillet and stir in the onions. Saute over medium heat for 7 minutes. Then crumble up the stuffing and add it to the onions. Spoon the mashed potatoes here and there in the skillet and scatter in the turkey. Warm the gravy and thin it with a little water. Pour gravy into the skillet, tossing lightly with a fork. Mash the hash down gently with a fork and bake 20 minutes. It makes 4 to 5 servings. Oh, the parfait makes 6 servings. Potato bread, that sounds good, doesn't it? I love bread. Use up the mashed potatoes to make this wonderfully soft and flavorful bread. Ingredients. 3 tablespoons of butter, 1 1/2 cup of milk, 1 cup leftover mashed potatoes at room temperature, 2 teaspoons of salt, 1 tablespoon of sugar or honey, 2 1/4 teaspoons of dry yeast, consists of 1 packet of dry yeast, 1/3 cup of lukewarm water, 105 degrees to 115 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 cups of all-purpose flour. Now this is bread, so you know the instructions can be quite intense. In a saucepan, melt your butter and milk. Let cool to room temperature. In the bowl of a stand mixer with dough hook, combine milk mixture with mashed potatoes, salt, sugar, yeast, water, and flour, and knead the dough. Hook for about 5 minutes until You have a smooth and slightly glossy dough. Place into an oiled bowl, cover with plastic or a clean, dry dish towel, and let rise until doubled in size about an hour. Oil two 9.5-inch loaf pans. Turn dough out into a lightly floured work surface. Divide in half and knead 3 or 4 times. Shape each portion into a rectangle about 9 inches long. Roll each one lengthwise into a log and place seam side down into its own loaf pan. Cover with plastic or a clean, dry dish towel and let rise until doubled in bulk about 1 hour. Preheat your oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Sometimes you should do that before. Bake for 30 minutes or until loaves sound hollow, then tapped. Turn into wire racks and let cool completely. That was exhausting. Oh, that bread is exhausting just thinking about it. How to do, what to do. Knead dough. Know how to do that? I don't. One more recipe for November leftover Thanksgiving meal, stuffing egg nest. Although the fridge is bursting with leftovers, no one's quite ready for turkey with their 9 a.m. coffee. We use 2 morning staples, cornbread and sausage, in our stuffing. So why not begin the 4th Friday of November with a hearty breakfast? The day after Thanksgiving breakfast. Preheat your oven for 350 degrees. Spray a standard muffin tin with nonstick cooking spray. The ingredients for your egg nest: 6 cups leftover stuffing or dressing, 12 large eggs, kosher or sea salt, freshly ground black pepper to taste. Put about 1/2 cup of dressing or stuffing into each cup, pressing the bottom and along the sides to about halfway up without breaking the yolk. Crack 1 egg into each cup. Season with salt and pepper. Bake for 10 minutes for slightly loose yolks, 15 minutes for hard cooked eggs. This makes 6 servings. And you might be able to find these on the internet as well. Cranberry parfait, the day after turkey hash, potato bread, and stuffing egg nest. Because I know that was a lot to try to write down and keep up with me reading it, even though I was going slow as I could anyway on the air. So, just some things to look forward to the day after Thanksgiving. I know a lot of families will not be able to get together, but those families that do get together, it's such a great time to be thankful and to give thanks to each and every one. Now, I may not be on the air Thanksgiving Eve. Oh, no, I don't have to worry about that because Thanksgiving is on Thursday, right? Right, and that's my day to be on the air, so I don't have to worry about that. Okay, let's see what else we can get into. That was a farmer's almanac. I left, my car's in the shop, and I have a lot of things in there that I can just get out if I need to, if I don't have a guest and I'm on my own. I can get out these different things that I can read. So what we're going to do is go to Streams in the Desert. Okay. Let me go there. Let me go to my email. Yeah, here we go right there. Streams in the Desert. And this says, I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then the Lord will give to Abraham what he promised him. Genesis 18 and 19. God wants people that he can depend upon. He could say of Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. God has made you promises. God's promises are written in the scriptures called the Bible. He has promised a lot of things to us. Is whether you believe those promises or not, or that he will fulfill those promises he made to you. And he is a man of his word, and he will fulfill those promises. Abraham believed that he would, and he did. God can be depended upon. He wants us to be just, as decided, as reliable, as stable. That is just what faith means. Faith means to be, make a decision, and also to be reliable and to be stable. God is looking for men and women on whom he can put the weight of all his love and power and faithful promises. God's engines are strong enough to draw any weight we attach to them. Unfortunately, the cable which we fasten to the engine is often too weak to hold the weight of our prayer. Therefore, God is drilling us, disciplining us to stability and certainty in the life of faith. Let us learn our lessons and stand fast. God knows that you can stand that trial. He would not give it to you if you could not. It is his trust in you that explains the trials of life. However bitter they may be, God knows our strength. He measures it to the last inch. And a trial was never given to any man that was greater than that man's strength through God to bear it. Oh, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. November 13th. Yep, I remember giving that to somebody a few years back. Streams in the desert. I like Streams in the Desert. It is a devotional, but it like stretches you to another point. Beyond our daily. What is it? Our daily devotional. I have to look up the name of it. But yeah, it stretches us. At least that's what I think it does. It stretches me to think a little deeper, to look a little longer at where I am spiritually. Our daily bread. I think Streams in the Desert stretches you just a little more. Yeah, did that one. So let's see what Streams in the Desert was yesterday. So this is today. Let's see what it was yesterday, because we're just about out of time. Okay, I think I can go back one day. This is Psalm 72 and 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. Amos speaks of the king's mowing. Our king has many sykes and is perpetually mowing his lawn. I didn't realize they mowed the grass back in those days. I wonder what kind of lawnmowers they had, right? Amos was a biblical character. Wow. Okay. The musical tinkle of the whetstone on the scythe. Scythe. Portends the cutting down of my raids, of green blades, daisies, and other flowers, beautiful as they were in the morning. Within an hour or two, they lie in long faded rows. Thus, in human life, we make a brave show before the scythe of pain, the shears of disappointment, the sickle of death. There is no method of obtaining a velvety lawn but by repeated mowings, and there is no way of developing tenderness, evenness, sympathy, but by the passing of God's sense. I don't know how you say that word. Scythes. How constantly the word of God compares man to grass and his glory to its flower. But when grass is mown and all the tender shoots are bleeding and desolation reigns where flowers were bursting, it is the most acceptable time of showers of rain falling soft and warm. O soul, thou hast been mown. Time after time the king has come to thee with his sharp scythe. Do not tread the scythe. It is sure to be followed by the shower. When across the heart deep waves of sorrow break, as on a dry and barren shore, when hope glistens with no bright tomorrow, and the storm seems sweeping evermore, when the cup of every earthly gladness bears no taste of the life-giving stream, in high hopes, as though to mock our sadness, fade and die as in some fitful dream. Who shall hush the weary spirit's chiding? Who the arching void within staff fill? Who shall whisper of a peace abiding and each surging billow calmly still? Only he whose wounded heart was broken with the bitter cross and thorny crown, whose dear love glad words of joy has spoken, who his life for us laid meekly down. Blessed healer, all our burdens lighten. Give us peace, thine own sweet peace, we pray. Keep us near thee till the morn shall brighten and all the mist and shadows flee away. That was titled He Shall Come Down Like Rain Upon the Mown Grass. You know, as time goes on, I think I become more thankful of little things that I would never even think about being thankful of, like opening up my eyes in the morning and saying, thank you, Lord, for another day. You know, just being able to put my clothes on, I'm thankful just to be able to put my shoes on and just be able to stand on my own 2 feet. You know, being able to go into my own restroom and brush my teeth and comb my hair and put on my own clothes. Do we think about how grateful we should be? This is the month of Thanksgiving. If no other month, let's be thankful. More thankful than we've ever been. Let's try that on for a size, or even have a car. Everybody doesn't have a car. Everybody doesn't even know how to drive a car. They have a desire to drive a car, but they don't have the means and a way to get a car. And once you get a car, you got to be able to afford insurance and put gas in the car and own and minor repairs, maybe major repairs. Let us be thankful if we do not have that to worry about. Let us be thankful, and not only thankful, but mindful of other people who are not where you are. You know? Because you don't need. Be thankful that you have a house to live in. One of the greatest crises that's going on in the United States is homelessness. People have just checked out. And they've checked into cars and tents living on the street and SUVs and families are living in SUVs. It's not just a vacation home. They're living in it day in and day out. Be thankful if you don't have to do that. If you have a home to live in, be thankful that you have electricity in that house. You can go in and flip on your light switch. Be thankful that you have a refrigerator with some food in it. Don't have to be full to the till, but you have some food in it. You have food in your cabinets. Be thankful. And you have a washer and dryer in your house. You can just go in and I need to do a load of laundry and go get it out the dirty clothes and drop it in the washer. Well, you have water. Be thankful. Put your clothes in that washing machine. Put your detergent in there and let it go. Be thankful. When that's finished, you'll take those clothes and put them in the dryer and put a Bounty in there. Or maybe you put Downy in the water. Be thankful that you can go when your clothes are finished and take them out the dryer and to another room and fold them up. Be thankful. You may have all your children alive today on this earth. Be thankful. All of your grandchildren, great-grandchildren alive right now today. Be thankful. You may still have your mother and father alive today. Be thankful. You may have all your siblings alive today. Be thankful. You may have need of nothing. Be thankful. Let us practice being thankful like never before and give God all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for His mercy and His love and His goodness towards you. Thank you. And thank you, Lord. This is the end of A Voice of a People Live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. Prayerfully, I didn't bore you this second hour. I thank Glenn Coble for being my guest on the first hour. Have a safe and happy weekend. Until next time, be blessed. Thank you.